Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
Good evening, everybody. It's Thorne and Cross, and I'm opening the show because Alistair's here, but his microphone is having trouble. We want to thank W.J. Pierce for creating and performing that wonderful piece of music you just heard. And good evening, and welcome to Thorne and Cross Haunted Nights Live. We're Alistair and Tamara. And we want to thank you for joining us. And before we introduce tonight's guest, here's me, and I'm going to tell you about what we're working on now. We're working on our third Ravencrest novel, which is the Ravencrest Saga Exorcism. In a remote part of California, Ravencrest Manor, imported stone by stone from England more than two centuries ago, looms tall and terrifying, gathering its dark and unnatural powers and drawing those it wants as its own. In Exorcism, Book 3 of the Ravencrest Saga, something evil is stirring in the deep, dark waters of the estate's indoor pool as ghostly jazz age parties fill the air with phantom music. Within the mansion, a maid is visited nightly by a demon lover. And, yes, it's cold, but she likes it anyway. And Governess Belinda Moreland is haunted by the tormented spirit of Violet LeBlanc, a silent movie star who was driven mad in her prime and wants Belinda to help her in her search for justice. The Ravencrest Saga series is first released in serialized installments. Episodes 1 through 3 are available now on Amazon, and we're working hard on the 4th. And if you want to brush up on Ravencrest and all the specters and scandals and sinisters goings on at Ravencrest, you can get the first two complete novels, The Ghosts of Ravencrest and The Witches of Ravencrest, in paperback or ebook on Amazon. And so, once again, I want to thank you for listening to Thorne and Cross Haunted Nights Live, and you can hear more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com, or you can visit our mutual blog at thorneandcross.wordpress.com, or if you tweet, our handle is at thorneandcross, but you're more likely to find us at cross.alistair and at Tamara Thorne. So be sure to visit on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/thorneandcross. And for more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. And just before we read tonight's bio, Alistair, is your mic working yet?
I don't know. How do I sound?
You sound terrific. Try reading the bio for our guest.
I'm going to try to read the bio. All right. Tonight, if I start cutting out, I just want you to cut me off, okay? All right.
I will be happy to.
We are very excited to have with us David Howard Thornton. David is an actor in stage, film, and voiceover. He's best known for his roles as Grandpa Who in the first through the fifth national tours of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical. Also, the voice of Shizoku and others in the video game Indivisibles, The Lost Kingdom. He was the Joker in the YouTube series Nightwing Escalation. And, of course, he is Art the Clown in the Netflix, I don't know if it's a Netflix film, but it's on Netflix now, Terrifier.
On Netflix.
Yes, yes. So, welcome to the show, David. How are you?
Yes.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
All right. So I sound okay, right?
You sound
yes,
okay
you
now. Yeah, yeah. You don't sound like you're underwater.
No.
All right. Just let me know if that changes.
We will.
So when I saw Terrifier on Netflix, and mm-hmm. I thought that it was one of the most this is what introduced me to you and your work. I was so impressed by it because it's been so long, I think, since horror was as, horror-y as Terrifier.
80-ish. 80s-ish.
Yes, very 80s-ish,
yeah.
And that's what I grew up on, so it really spoke to me. And, of course, we want to talk about that, but I think, first of all, I'm just curious, how did you know and when did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
Oh, wow. Well, I grew up, like, doing, like, community theater and stuff like that, you know, back in when I lived in Huntsville, Alabama, for most of my life. But I was trying to be pragmatic with my life when I got to college, and so I actually got a degree in teaching elementary school. But it really wasn't until my mother passed away from cancer while I was in one of my final years of college that, like, I went through a lot of life changes because of that experience, and I was in my internship in the schools, and I realized I was getting more fulfillment out of entertaining my students rather than teaching my students. Like, during, like, story time, I was doing, like, a lot of crazy voices and stuff like that. I was having so much fun doing that. I was like, I think this would make me happier doing something like this with my life, you know, entertaining people rather than teaching. And so, like, you know what? I want to do this instead. I, you know, might as well.
Right.
So
right.
That's what I did. I finished up my degree and moved up to New York, and the rest is history.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I found you when I was Googling you. I found on SoundCloud like a playlist of all the different voices you do. Very impressive. Very good stuff.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you.
Very good stuff.
Yeah, that's a little bit of craziness is going on inside of my head. I have a lot of people living up there.
What's your favorite voice? You want to do one? We love it.
Oh, gosh.
And our guests do that.
I usually do, like, you know, the typical ones, like Bugs Bunny and stuff like that. But I would say probably one of my favorite ones I like to say is, like, Krang from Ninja Turtle series from back in the 80s and early 90s. You know, the whole... Shredder, you fool! You let those turtles escape! Yo! It's such a unique sounding voice. So just like, it's so crazy.
Oh!
Oh, fantastic!
Oh. Yeah.
All right, so, Terrifier, how did you get the role of Art the Clown?
By pure luck in a lot of ways, because, like, the original Art, Mike Gianelli, who played him in All Hallows Eve and the short film Terrifier and Ninth Circle, he decided to retire from acting, so they needed to recast the role. And at the time, I was without a job and everything like that, and I just randomly came across an audition notice on a website for actors, and they were looking for a tall, skinny guy that had clowning or physical comedy experience. And I'm like, this is perfect for me. And I was already familiar with the role of Art anyway. I was like, oh, yes, I have to play this. I'm like, that I want to do this. So, you know, contacted my refs. I'm like, guys, I'm confident that I can get this role. I'm like, that this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they submitted me, and I got the audition. And I guess the rest is history.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. So this wasn't too big of a stretch. You were familiar with the work, you know, because I'm always curious with actors. It's like, what if you were, you know, for all we know, you're really squeamish and you don't like horror. You're like, oh my god, but you know, it's work, right? So
yeah, exactly.
But this wasn't
acting.
Like that for you. Did you like horror?
Oh, I do, and I have a more a bigger appreciation for the genre now after doing it. You know, especially seeing how all these practical effects are done behind the scenes and everything. It's like now when I watch horror films, I don't get grossed out anymore. I'm like, oh, I bet I know how they did that.
Right?
That helps.
I was like, oh, that's a nice prop they have. I was like, okay, I bet they have the tubes hooked up there, and there's some guy on the side pumping blood out of. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Oh, we've been talking about this a lot on Facebook and things, and the scene that gets everybody is the one where you cut the girl in half when she's hanging upside down.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
That was actually, you know, the part that was not the fun part was actually having to do that with Katie, because that was so dangerous. Because that was, for her to actually be hanging upside down like that, and it was like 90, it was like 20 degrees that day too in the room. So she was so cold and she was so miserable. So we wanted to get through that as fast as possible with her. So, you know, she wouldn't be literally tortured the whole entire time.
Yeah.
But the fun part was actually cutting that body cast of her in half. Cause I actually got to cut through that thing. I was like, this is fun.
Oh. You found your niche.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? This is fun. I actually get to do this. So I was like, but I only had, like, one chance to actually cut through that thing, so I had to do it right. I'm like, oh, God, don't mess this up.
Right?
And
you know, that's the scene that everyone talks about, and I think that scene and the one where he's kind of dancing around, but you know what
bathroom.
My favorite scene is?
The bathroom.
You know what my favorite scene is? When he's trying to get through the barn door thing and he's squeaking his little horn at the girl, that cracks me up so bad.
That's funny.
He's got her trapped, and he's just teasing her. It's just so mean.
That was funny, though.
Great.
I'm not a big fan of gory horror unless it's funny. You know, anything Bruce Campbell's in, I'm going to watch. I don't care how many body parts there are. And Terrifier was like that, too. I've never seen Saw or Hostel or any of those, but I will watch anything if it's got a sense of humor. And, Art Clown, he was great.
You got to have fun with it. That's how I look at it, you know.
Yeah,
horror's supposed
exactly.
to be fun. And so I'm like, No, I think that's the problem with, like, so many horror films recently. They've just gotten to be so serious, and they forgot, you know, what made it fun in the first place. They're just, like, trying to tell these really complex stories or just be just over the top with the gore and the violence and leave out the fun element of it all. And I'm like, you can do all of that together.
I'm trying to remember, speaking of fun, in the bathroom scene, the other scene everyone mentions, I mean, I was watching it. I was by myself at night watching it, and I remember hearing myself go, "Oh, ew," and then laughing my butt off. But did you have to? I don't remember you actually being in there with the brown stuff.
No,
yeah,
that was actually just putting in pizza dough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that they use. They had a MacGyver all that on set. They're like, oh, what can we use to make it look like poo? And like, Dave, you just want to go in there? I'm like, no, I'm not going to use my real poo. That'd be wrong. This is a business.
Yeah.
We can't do that to these poor people.
Oh, but using pudding means you could really gross people out and just lick a little, you know? I love it.
Oh. No, it's actually quite tasty.
Yeah.
It's a bit
nothing. What was your favorite scene in the movie? Is there one that stands out to you as being, I don't know, the most fun, or that you're just, you know, the most happy with?
The whole pizzeria scene was just fun for me, because that's where I really just got
to
flex my muscles, because you got to see all these different aspects of art. That scene sums him up right there for you. So, like, you don't really have to know much more about him. You just see that he's this creepy, just crazy guy, and it's just like, what the heck's wrong with him? He's like, he has your elements of humor, and then you also have him you see his outright maliciousness when he's like killing the owner and the worker there. So it's just like, it was a fun scene. Plus, I got to just play around with him a lot.
That must have been so much fun to play.
It was fun.
Was there anything particular that you did to get into, I don't know what kind of actor you are. I don't know, but was there anything that you did to kind of get into the role? Like, were there things that you do to, you know, get into his head, so to speak?
No, I'm really weird. I can turn on and off a character at will. It's no problem for me. I might take like a second or two just to collect my thoughts, and then I can just turn it on. But I mean, I totally based him off of like a lot of like, of course, a lot of horror icons like Freddy Krueger, a little bit Chucky, Mike Myers, all that kind of stuff. But also like pulled from a lot of the old silent film comedians and like Mr. Bean and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of integrated all that in my head, because I always
to
say like art is like the bastard child of Freddy Krueger and Harpo Marx.
Oh, that's perfect. I can see that.
Yeah. that's what I have in my head. It's just like, that's what he is.
Nice.
Now, from what I can tell, this has gone over really quite well. How does it feel that so many people are recognizing this and seeing this and loving it?
It's been wonderful. We did not expect it. I mean, we just made this film for the fans of All Hallows Eve, because the people that watched the original All Hallows Eve, they loved the character so much, and they were calling, because that was an anthology film, and Art wasn't really he wasn't really the main character of it. He was just one of the characters that was in it, and people latched on to him. They wanted a movie about him, so we decided to make a movie for the fans, and we were like, well, we think we have something fun here, but, you know, that's just us because we're making it. Who knows what people actually think of this? So, you know, especially we were being realistic. We're like, we're just a small, low-budget film. Like, we're nobodies. No one knows who we are and stuff like that. So we were just like, well, we'll see.
Great.
It
came out
totally
so well.
Surpassed our expectations, yeah.
Yeah, no,
I hope that
yeah.
means there's
it's
a sequel coming.
Yeah,
we're in the process of writing it right now. I think Damien's almost finished with the first draft. So,
that's great.
Hopefully
wow.
after that, once he's got that all polished up, we can hopefully start shopping it around to some studios that might want to pick us up and, you know, give us more money so we can make a bigger sequel.
Yeah, Alistair and I were both thinking it was a Netflix film, but it's not. But it's,
it's not.
Yeah.
Netflix though they really helped us out a lot though. I'm like, because we were doing you know modest success when we released back in March on like DVD and video on demand, but like Netflix really just got us out to a wider audience.
Oh
so
yeah,
it exploded after Netflix. So
yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah, I think Alistair found it really fast because he told me and I saw it about 2 weeks later and then
Yeah,
he's seen it several times.
I found it because I saw it and just on Netflix. That's like my main source of television.
Mm-hmm.
And clowns don't scare me. I know everybody's afraid of clowns.
Yeah.
I know that everybody's like, oh my God, clowns, and I they don't do anything to me. They don't. Nothing.
We need
challenge.
So I thought,
well, this will be interesting to see, you know, because I had just seen it, and you know, I was like, yeah, you know, it's good, but I'm still not afraid of clowns. And I watched it, and for the first time, and it was in that scene with the in the diner scene with the facial expressions and the for the first time, a clown freaked me out. So, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to slap the girl who was flirting with him. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know.
You know,
idiot.
Everybody knows someone like that in the real world, too. It's
right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God. Stop
always.
It. It's like, oh, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
the expressions and everything
you
did were so much fun.
It's true.
Thank
you said you were
you.
Working on the sequel and you are shopping it around. Would you say that that's kind of the way to go in acting now is like doing independent films and trying to get the eye of larger corporations? Is that kind of what the way things are being? I mean, because obviously there's still Warner Brothers and things like that, but I hear that that's not real easy to get into at this point.
It's just like publishing.
I would say more so.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I'm learning so much about that side of the business and everything too. So it's all new to me. So I really don't know if this is the norm or not. But I mean, I guess this is more the norm for horror films, because even the bigger franchises that we have now, like they all basically started as independent films. Too. Even Saw, the first Saw was an independent film, and. People picked them up after that and made them into franchises.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess we're on the right track.
You've done a whole lot of theater, as we can tell by your voice. You have a great voice.
Yes.
But
thank you.
Always go back to theater? You resonate.
I would love to. It's been a while. It's been a few years since I've been on stage. I kind of miss it.
Yeah, but that's fun. You sound like
it really is. It's so much fun. I've always done comedy. I never really did any dramas or anything like that. So there's that difference between stage and film where, like, with stage, you get the instant feedback. You know when things are working or not with an audience. So you're like, you can adapt while you go, especially with comedy. It's like comedy is so subjective. you know, something
right.
I
right.
might think it's funny. People are like, that's not funny at all. What are you doing, a-hole? So it's like, oh, well, that joke didn't work. Oh, yeah. So that's what sucks about film. And like, you film this, you're like, well, we'll see how this plays out with an audience. So I have no idea. It's like when I first saw Terrifier with an audience, I was so nervous because I'm like, oh, God, they're going to hate me. I was especially worried about the fans, like the big fans of like All Hallows Eve. I was like, oh, God, because, you know, I know how I am when I watch, you know, because I'm a big fanboy myself. So like when someone takes over a role that someone else had previously played, I'm usually really critical.
Yes.
Like, oh, God, now it's going to come back and bite me in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
I was so worried. Yeah. Now I'm just worried about that when it comes to the sequel. Now I'm like, oh, God. Now how are we going to beat what we did in this? Oh, like, oh, no.
But Art himself is such a character that it's going to be hard not to do just as well, you know.
I like
he's
him.
What carries
I
it.
I hope so. Yeah. He's a fun character. There's so much more I want to do with him. There's so much more I just want to experiment with and play around with. So it's like, that's what I love about the character. There's a lot of potential with him.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Do you think that I know that in the movie there's not a whole lot you don't really get, and this is part of, I think, why it's so creepy. But at the same time, you kind of want to know more. You know, there's not much about him. Is there anything that you know about Art the Clown that maybe the general public doesn't?
Oh, I know everything about him.
Nice. Like,
that's something like Damien and I have really, like, because I spent like over 100 hours alone in the makeup chair with Damien. So we spent a lot of time discussing the character, and we've kind of developed the character in a lot of ways together as well, like his backstory and everything like that. So I know all of that now. That's the challenge we're trying to look at, because we know, like, basically half the fans want to know who he is and what he is and all that kind of stuff. The other half don't want to know all that. So, like, how are we going to make everybody happy there?
Right.
So that's the thing.
Can you tell us anything about his about his background safely or not?
I really can't. I mean, the one thing I can tell you now, though, is that, you know, there's definitely a supernatural aspect to the character, as you see at the end of the film. But, like,
that's one
thing people were asking before, is like, was he always supernatural or anything like that? And that's something we want to explore more. You know, it's like, did he get did killing himself make him, like, develop these powers, or did he already have those to begin with? That's, you know, that's the kind of stuff we want to explore, stuff like that too. And what are these powers? And if he awakened with new powers, what are those powers? I don't know. But we don't want to make it over the top crazy like that. And we still want to keep it basic where he's just, you know, he just uses his traps and tools to kill and maim people.
Right. Nice.
He's so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
He is, and he does
not flying across the sky or anything like that, shooting lightning bolts down.
Fly, my minions, fly.
Oh, come on.
Raises this army of dead clowns or something like that. A bunch of circus people. Like,
in a clown car.
No, we don't want to go that crazy with it, no.
That would be hilarious, though.
Oh, that's so much fun.
In what ways has your life changed since this came out? Obviously, probably not a lot of people are going to recognize you necessarily on the street because, you know, the makeup and stuff. But you know, it's already, you've got this really big fan base, which, congratulations on that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. In what ways has your life changed since this happened?
Well, I definitely don't have to wait tables anymore, so that's nice.
Congrats.
That changed it. Yeah, I'm basically doing a bunch of conventions right now. I'm actually doing one this weekend here in New York at WinterCon. So I'm basically all the way, at least through July of next year, I'm doing like at least one convention a month. So that's keeping me going right now, which is nice. So I can actually focus on my career full time as much as I want to, instead of like,
would next July be Comic-Con San Diego? Next July, is that Comic-Con San Diego?
If they would have me, I would be there in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a good
place
to be. You should check that out.
Oh, I would love that. Oh, that's like the big, of course I would.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
would
the one near me.
Love that. Oh, that would be so much fun. Oh, I'm a big, huge geek, and I've always wanted to go to that one. So like, that's actually been like a goal of mine to be like a guest at San Diego Comic-Con one day. So I'm like,
oh, you should try for that. Yeah.
Yeah. One day at least. One day. We'll get there. You know. Yeah. But
well, if this franchise goes along
awesome.
As it should, you really will.
I hope so, man. I'm like knocking on wood. I would love to have like that kind of longevity, like how like Kane Hodder and like Robert Englund have experienced. You know, they've gotten like,
wouldn't
especially
that be
Robert,
great?
He's gotten like, oh, he's, you know, 30 plus years of just riding this wave. I'm like, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done other projects as well, but to be honest, like, I mean, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, well, it's lucky that there's all that makeup, so you don't get so, you know, Shatnerized that everything is Captain Kirk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've always said I would rather have like the careers that like, you know, like Doug Jones or like Gary Oldman, you know, those guys have had the character actors where they can change their appearance from role to role. So they can play so many different characters and they don't have to worry about a certain look or something like that. They can play a lot.
Exactly.
They're not pigeonholed into one type of role, and that's what I would like.
Yeah, and they could go out in public more easily than the face stars. Yeah, that would be important.
Oh yeah, I would rather have that kind of anonymity and still like make a living doing what I love doing. Plus, like the character roles are the more fun roles anyway. I don't want to be like the Brad Pitt character. It's not boring.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in like a superhero movie, I don't want to be the superhero. I want to be one of the villains or something like that.
The villains, yes. Yeah, you've done the Joker in a YouTube series, right?
Yes.
Nightwing Escalation.
I love him. He's like my favorite villain of all time, and like that's a lifetime goal of mine is to, you know, play Joker at least on a TV series. That's the ideal way I would like to play him, because with a TV series, you can really take your time to flesh out the character more and experiment and grow with the character over seasons and stuff like that, over like just doing one or two movies and that's basically it. And it's like, I'd rather have years of being able to play this character instead of just going in and, okay, that's the one film and we're done. I'm like,
That sounds like fun.
I'm like, especially when I look at all like the CW shows right now at DC, you know, I'm like, let's do a, you know, I know Gotham's on and stuff like that. I was actually on an episode of Gotham, but I want to really do a real good live action Batman show. Like, you know, how they did the animated series with those really good stories, but do it live action and just really stay true to the comics instead of just, because I look at Gotham, I look at that as more like an Elseworlds storyline. I'd like to see them take actual comic, like story arcs from the comics and actually do that like for a whole season or something like that. And that would be so much more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Like, Greg Berlanti, if you're listening.
I know, right?
Let's talk.
Him?
Yeah.
Like, put me in, coach. Put me in.
Yes.
I would be happy to put a smile on your face, Greggy.
Yes. Audition right now. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Let them hear your Joker. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen one season of Gotham.
I am really happy to hear that there is a second one in the works, and we hope that even if it's not Terrifier related, you know what? You know how to contact us. We'd love to have you back. Hit us up when you have news to share, and we will happily help you spread the word. Yeah.
Oh, well, I would love to come back.
and meanwhile, where do people find you online?
Yep. Oh, you can find me on like variation of David Howard Thornton on like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would say probably the best place is Twitter for me, because I've basically reached my friend / follower limit on both Instagram and Facebook, which I didn't know you had until I reached those limits. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Twitter's more fun anyway. You can say anything you want there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, but I made
to an extent. I've gotten
Facebook
in trouble a few times.
I feel so lucky.
Yes, you made it.
I made it.
Yeah, that's why I'm still pending. Now we know.
Is that why you're pending?
Oh, I needed.
Friends.
Yeah, I hit like 5,000, and I've lost a few, recently, you know, probably because they were purging bots and stuff like that, so I need to go back. There's like a list of people, so I need to find you on there then.
Yeah, I'm in there somewhere.
Thank you for reminding me. It's probably lost in like, there's like over like 500 requests I haven't even looked at. I'm like,
sorry.
Yeah, you should have
I think people just tell me,
it's like, I requested you. I'm like, oh, okay.
That just
technology.
Shows how popular you're getting. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we usually send
their
guest friend requests.
Anyway, I think you'll be better off at Twitter anyway. It's, you know,
yeah.
It's more
limitless.
Fun.
And who cares
it
if you get in
better.
Trouble? I love your tweets anyway, so
yeah.
Just keep doing what you do.
Yeah, I sometimes can't keep my mouth shut on certain things, so.
Oh, yeah. Me too. And I don't dare say those things on Facebook, so Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, I can be pretty opinionated. So, like, I usually save my Instagram for being just, like, you know, that kind of, for being just all, like, career-oriented stuff. But
I think I retweeted something of yours yesterday that was, I felt very strongly. Same way, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Hasn't today been an interesting news day?
Oh.
But we'll leave it there.
Yeah, I'm seeing the red tree memes for the moment, but my favorite one so far is the Star Trek crew beaming down in them.
Oh, God. Well, I got in trouble with some people because I called them the tampon trees. And I'm like,
Oh, I said that online just to Alistair. The used tampon trees is what I call them.
Yeah, exactly. It's from to illustrate the bloody awful period of American history.
I think it's very fitting.
I got
down
in trouble
way,
with
exactly.
some people. People got mad. I'm like, what?
Silly.
The funny thing was,
it
was a bunch of guys. It was a bunch of guys that got mad with me with that one. I was like, all the women were like, that's hilarious. I'm like, thank you.
Yes. I can't imagine mad over that. Grossed out maybe, but not mad.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was because like my household growing up, my mom and my sister were very open about all their female problems and issues and stuff like that. So like that stuff has never bothered me. That was something I was around my whole entire life. I'm I guess this is icky to some guys.
Yeah. Oh, like, you hit the icky factor. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh well, bless your heart.
Yep.
And you call yourself a horror fan.
You gotta take
Come
it.
On.
Yeah. You know what vampires call them? All day suckers, you know.
It's a buffet.
All right, now I gross myself out. Yeah.
They love that type of
thing.
Yeah.
It's
my favorite
time of the month. Yay. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm horrible. I'm
going
to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. That's where all the fun people will be.
It is.
Right.
It is. I've seen Lucifer. Yeah.
Yeah. Party on in the seventh level.
That's right. Bring hot dogs.
Yeah, bring the hot dogs.
Oh, man. Oh,
that could get so much worse, couldn't it?
Oh,
you have to come back soon. This is fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can let go with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're not very literary tonight, and we don't care.
We know where to find you. We know where to find you online. And we're looking forward to more. And again, sincerely, we'll be in touch. We'd love to have you back. Anytime.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you be
Thank
in touch.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. If you feel like doing impressions for half an hour, just hit us up.
That's fun
for me. I'd love to.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, we'd love it too.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you for being on. It was a pleasure to meet you. I'm really happy to meet you, and it's been fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
And
indeed.
Congratulations again on the success. And
thank
you for being on. And
until
next week, we wish you all haunted nights
and sweet screams.
Thank you for joining us.
Good night, everybody.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.